I'd ask you to turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy 3, chapter 3. Look at verses 10 through 13 this morning. Living a godly life. Living a godly life. What does that look like? Living a godly life. How are we to do that? What are the aspects of living a godly life? We're going to take a look at that this morning. 2 Timothy 3, 10 through 13, and it says, "You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings, and happened to be at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, persecutions, excuse me, I endured. Yet from them all of the Lord rescue me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, a word that you breathe into the authors like Paul, and how Paul breathed your word into Timothy, that we would be ambassadors, that we would represent you well. Father, I pray that you would touch the ears who would hear the word this morning, and that it would change us just a little bit. In your name I pray, amen. Before I go on, I do want to welcome mom here this morning, Miss Louise, that she's listening to us this morning, and friend from North Carolina, Ms. Alberta Atwater, she's here with us this morning. Hello, how you doing? And my sister Kim Pithlaya up in Fairbanks. I don't ever want to forget those folks who are here week in and week out. So thank you for being here with us this morning. I read you will learn, I learned that this something I'll learn in ministry, that if you communicate with your head, you may change somebody's mind. If you communicate from your heart, you might change their attitudes. But if you communicate from your life, you have a potential of changing their lives. That's the truth. In this these three verses, Paul cited like nine qualities of life that he had transmitted to Timothy, just raising him up. And this morning, I just want to touch on those nine. So don't go, "Oh, nine. I thought, what happened to the 3 points and we're out?" Okay. But this morning, I'll do my best to have the Lord lead me to not be long-winded. First of all, we see in verse 10 through our sharing, that beginning where it says, you however have followed my teaching. In the NIV, it says, followed my doctrine. When Paul visited Timothy's home, he preached a super powerful message to the people. The people thought that he was so strong, they're like, "Man, that must be God. I mean, look how strong and powerful he spoke." And Timothy, he had the privilege of being under his ministry and hearing his sermons. Each of us, whether we're standing up in front or not, each of us are all pastors in your own right. Each of you should be or have the ability to share God's word. Now, I'm not saying that you have to know how to spell Ezekiel backwards, all right, okay? All I'm saying is that you should know the gospel and how the Word of God has changed your life. That's what people want to hear. Not only do they want to hear, but they see it through your actions. There's truth whenever we share the scripture. If you stay on the scripture, then you're rock solid, all right? Secondly, we communicate through our practice, and it's in that, still in that verse 10, it's my conduct. The only Christ I've ever seen is through Scripture. That's where I see my God, in Scripture. And in, even in some people, I've seen Christ reflected by the way they live. I've had the privilege of running into a couple great men for the Lord, and you know, just the way they live their lives. They're human, but the way they live their lives is so Christ-like. It's an example. It's I want to emulate them. In 1 Corinthians 1:11, it says that we're supposed to be imitators of Christ. Paul says, be imitators of Christ like I am. My question to you is, are you imitating Christ? Are you living a life that someone says, I want to follow you, man? The way you live your life, the way you follow Christ, or maybe someone says, I don't even know Christ, but the way you live your life, that's me. I want that. You'll never lose. You'll never go wrong when you're imitating Yahweh. Next, we communicate through our purpose. Your aim in life. Our aim in life is whatever you do, right? Whatever your aim is, I'm willing to die for that right now. I'm willing to die for that purpose. I think I go back to the Old Testament. I go old school. And you look at Daniel. And you look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And how they were willing to sacrifice their life. They weren't scared. They weren't scared. They're like, okay, put me in the lion's den. Daniel's like, go ahead, I'm all right. Put me in the fiery furnace. And we too need to have that purpose of saying, I am going to serve my God whatever the cost, and I won't be scared. I just like the way that happens, you know. They go to the fire furnace or whether the lion's den, and King Nebuchadnezzar, he always says, he goes, that's the God. That's the God right there. We'll bow down to the God of Daniel. When we see people living in that way, when we live that way, that inspires people. Next, we communicate through our presence, our faith. The word faith here means being faithful under pressure or fidelity. It influences people when they see our teaching sustain us during difficult times. Going through difficult trials. We don't abandon the word of God, neither do we despair. There's a song that resonates with me. It's found in your those books underneath your seat in the hymnals, but it's I'm standing on the promises. The second verse goes, standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. standing on the promises of God. Standing on his promises. He's never reneged. He's never reneged. He's always kept his word. And he always will. We communicate through our patience. Our patience. It's hard to communicate Christ when we're easily frustrated by others. And sometimes that happens. You know, there's that guy or that gal at work, and it just seems like, oh man, just as soon as they open out their mouth, you're like, ah! You know what I'm talking about. And the thing of it is, folks, is that when we lose our patience, when people are trying to bring out the worst of us, we're not exercising that fruit of the Spirit called patience. Our gospel is communicated best when we remain calm in a turbulent situation or somebody that seems that, you know, they can get a rise out of you. When I was in Fairbanks, I was working, I had a civil service job, and we were working 5-10s, and Fridays were my days off, and that day I would go to the Christian school at Fairhill, and I'd run chapel every Friday. I did that for years. And the supervisor wasn't a very kind man. And all of a sudden he decides that he's gonna say, that's it. No more 5-10s. We're just gonna 4-10s. We're doing the regular work week Monday through Friday, 5-8s. I'm like, but you know that I have an obligation on Fridays. I can't take leave every Friday to go to minister to those kids. He goes, well, you can until your leave runs out. And I'm like, really? And he's like, so what are you going to do? He did it to get a rise out of me. It was hard. I'm not going to lie to you, church. It was hard. But if I'm to imitate Christ, it's not by jumping and screaming and telling him I'm going to punch his lights out, all right? And I'm just, that's not his way. Every Friday I see him, I say, hey, good morning. How you doing, sir? Hope you have a good day. And I meant it. Well, not the beginning, okay, but I'm just... Truth be told. But I like, man, I just need to be in the practice of imitating God. And it's like he didn't want me to come by his office on Fridays. But there was a meeting every Friday. I'm like, hey, good morning. How you doing? Glad to be here. And I meant that. Exercise that patience. We communicate through our philanthropy. Our love. The older translations in the text say charity. Paul was a God lover, and Paul showed it well. Whenever there's a need, he said, here, take this. Take this. You're hungry, you need shoes on your feet, sandals, whatever. Paul, he was always giving, giving, giving. I know of a church that gives 90% of their what they bring in away to missions. They only thrive off of 10%. What a thought, huh? 80% they give away toward missions, kingdom building, things outside of the church. We're to take care of those who are without. We communicate through our patience with circumstances, that steadfastness. The word prior, when we're talking about patience, had to do primarily with people, putting up with people. This word has to do with putting up with our circumstances. Circumstances we find ourselves, not even our fault. I don't know if most of you have heard about the Turner family. And so, last Sunday, while I was in Juneau, I received a phone call from Alicia Turner. And I'm like, what is she calling me for? I mean, you know, and her pastor's right there, and we're like, I don't know. But so I answer the phone, and I'm like, hey, what's going on? Pastor JR, my house is on fire. What? Click. Well, iPhones don't click anymore. She was gone. So I'm like, Mark, the Turner's house is on fire. So I called her back. I FaceTimed her. And she answered. And there's fire trucks pulling up. She's turning around and showing me that their house is fully engulfed. She's telling me that the kids are safe. They're only able to back out two of the cars. But everything else is gone. I've never gone through that scenario of my house being on fire and losing all of my worldly possessions. I've been blessed in that way. But Nick and Alicia and the kids, they are living out. They're emulating Christ. They're not worried. They know that they have each other. The things that they lost, clothing and that, can be replaced. I just can't even imagine going through something like that, through a circumstance like that, and still remaining, they still have that steadfast love for Christ. I would encourage you to help them out. They do have a GoFundMe, or you can support them by going to Wasilla Community Church of God. Go to their website and you can donate there and just write Turner Family. I've seen a number of you already reach out to the Turner family, so thank you so much for doing that. But that's going through a circumstance, that a situation that's hard. We communicate through our persecutions, and persecutions we see recorded Paul and his persecutions. We see that in Acts. I mean, we also see it in 2 Corinthians. I think more when I look at the story of Stephen. Have you know that story of Stephen? He was sharing God's word. He's the first one to be martyred, right? You know that. The story is found in Acts 7. So if you want to go there when you leave today, go there, read that story. And how he is just speaking the word of God with such boldness. And he's speaking the truth. Oh, man, hang on. Acts. All right. So he's speaking and he's telling these folks. He says to them, I like this part. He says, you stiff-necked people, you stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in the heart, your ears, and you always resist the Holy Spirit. As our fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And then he's like, okay, and now hearing these things, now these folks are angry. There's like the gnashing of teeth. But Stephen, he is full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And then they started to cry out all the louder and they started covering their ears and they rushed to him and they started throwing stones. They pushed him out of town. The whole while, Stephen's like, yeah, it's all right. my time here is almost done. Because I see my Heavenly Father. I think that if we would have that mindset, whatever. Now, granted, nobody's throwing rocks at you, all right? Okay, no one's throwing rocks at you. But I know that sometimes you may find yourself a little bit uncomfortable. You don't like it when people are making fun of you because you're carrying your Bible with you or you're reading your Bible during lunchtime at school, at work, or you're wearing a t-shirt that says Jesus rocks. I don't know, but you know, not everybody loves the Lord like you do. Not everybody has been loved by a God like you have. And I think if we just envision our Heavenly Father right there all the time, wherever we're being persecuted, how much easier things would be. We communicate through our pain, our suffering. 2 Corinthians 4:7, Paul explained his sufferings like this. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not us. During times of pain, pressure, and stress, we have the greatest of opportunities to let people know that this walk with Christ really works. It really does. I want to share with you this poem, and it's by Edgar Guest. The poem is entitled, I'd Rather See a Sermon Than Hear One. It goes, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely tell me the way. The eyes, a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but examples always clear. And the best of all the preachers are the men who live their creeds. For to see good in action is what everybody needs. I soon can learn to do it if you'll let me see it done. I can watch your hands in action, but your tongue too fast may run. And the lecture you deliver may be very wise and true, but I'd rather get my lesson by observing what you do. For I might misunderstand you and the high advice you give, but there's no mistaking how you act and how you live. When I see a deed of kindness, I am eager to be kind. When a weaker brother stumbles and a strong man stays behind, just to see he can help him, then the wish grows strong in me to become as big as and thoughtful as I know that friend to be. And all travelers can witness the best of guides today. It's not the one who tells them, but the one who shows the way. One good man teaches many men believe that they behold. One deed of kindness, notice, is worth 40 that are told. Who stands with men of honor learns to hold his honor dear. For right living speaks a language which to everyone is clear. Though an able speaker charms me with his eloquence, I say I'd rather see a sermon than to hear one any day. Our greatest communication is not with our words, but how we live out our life serving Him. I would challenge each and every one of you and keep me accountable that I do the same. That our walks emulate our Father. Heavenly Father, today we thank you for your word. And Paul, how he was so willing to set the example. I can only imagine how Paul must have felt when he was Saul, when the garments of Stephen were brought to him and laid at his feet. And only two chapters further in that text, that book, we see that Saul is on the road of Damascus, and how he has that life-altering encounter with you. Father, I pray that each and every one has had that encounter with you, a life-changing encounter. And I pray that if today that anyone within my hearing has not had that life-changing encounter with him, that you would not delay, that you would make that a priority, that you would want to have a life with him today. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you, Stan.